You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thick of your fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Well, I am indeed Dave Hodges, the host of the Common Sense Show, the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And I just want to remind everybody that my good friend Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com is standing by. Take your phone calls, 1-800-627-3809. Let me say that again, 1-800-627-3809, and he'll consult with you on any individual prepping needs that you have. And I just want to put a shout out to my friend Bob Kudla, who I'm also working getting back on the show again. He predicted the Ides of March economic collapse, and this guy's got the most unique plan for getting through a tough market. Now, right now, things look great, but, you know, who knows? What goes up must come down. Bob Kudla, TradeGenius.co. Check him out. I mean, his approach to the market is like no one I've ever seen, and yet no one ever leaves the guy. They love him because they make money with him. Bob Kudla, TradeGenius.co. Well, we're joined by Robert David Steele, formerly of the CIA. I'm not going to try to put an adjective on the end of there, okay? I don't want to get in trouble again. And Robert has been enlightening us as to what Donald Trump needs to do. And what basically it's been is an in-depth expose of what Joe and I talked about in the first hour when we said, Donald, get off your butt and start the purge. But this is a much more comprehensive plan than an admonition to get busy. And we're going to go back to Robert. We're going to talk about debt repudiation. Robert, welcome back, and let's talk about your plan for, you know, how Trump can really have leverage with the banks.
Well, a lot of people are worried about the economic crash, and I'm less worried about it provided we have good presidential leadership. I believe America is a strong country, and we can fix America by putting integrity back into our governments. The real thing that people need to realize is that the banks are basically a massive fraud. Most of their digital wealth is made up, manufactured wealth. I mean, when the banks need money, they literally make it up out of thin air. So they'll make up $1 billion or $1 million in credit, and they'll go buy property with that made up cash. And all of a sudden, they own property that someone else has sweated for 40 years to buy. So it's all a fraud. If the banks were to crash tomorrow, if the stock market were to crash tomorrow, I don't actually think it would hurt anybody, provided that we had the Electoral Reform Act and a strong president, we had a roadmap for essentially putting the public back in charge of all resources, to include the expropriation of all land being held by absentee landlords. I think the states need to kick the federal government out of land ownership, and I think that communities need to kick absentee landlords out and take back possession of their own land. I know that sounds socialist or communist, but it's actually Native American.
It's indigenous. I'm not critical of it because you're not talking about the removal of private property. You're talking about the usurping of state land by federal authority.
Yes, so absolutely. Yeah, and also the usurping of community land by Monsanto and others who are evil in every possible sense of the word. But yes, coming back to this debt repudiation, we have been living in an economic bubble in which the government has legalized high crimes. I mean, Matt Taibbi's book, Griftopia, is one that I have reviewed and given a 6-star rating to, and I recommend people read my summary of it if they don't have time for the book itself. Essentially, and he's also written The Divide, which talks about the legal system for the banks and then the second legal system for all of us others. We have allowed the banks to not only control the monetary supply and to invent money, but to charge interest rates that are biblically satanic. And most of the banks have gotten their principal paid back very quickly, and now they're simply sucking blood from a stone, all these interest payments and so forth. I looked up how much money is owed, and it comes to $3 trillion. The student debt is based on inflated loans against universities that haven't actually taught anything. And in fact, the universities are abusing their professors. They're using adjunct professors at $3,000 to $5,000 a course instead of full professors with benefits. The medical debt that the elderly... I mean, one of the things Donald Trump hasn't figured out, evidently, is that the health industry is the biggest scam in history. It's bigger than the military-industrial complex. There is no price list in the medical industry. What you pay for an operation or what you pay for a prescription varies all over the lot. You will pay $5,000 for an operation in Arkansas that will cost $90,000 in California. You will pay $30 for a prescription in Missouri or Mississippi, and you will pay $500 for that in New York. So the first thing Donald Trump really needs to understand is that this whole economy is out of control. It's being run by thieves. I mean, Jim Hightower did a nice book called Thieves in High Places, I Want My Country Back. So I don't think the economy crashing in a financial sense means that the economy will crash in a Main Street sense. But debt reconciliation, debt repudiation, is how Donald Trump grabs Wall Street by the balls. And it's very, very simple. He creates a database. Brad Parscale could do this outside of the White House, outside of the government, because I want Donald Trump to be the sole owner of all the emails. He creates a database in which every American citizen that owes debt of any kind, student, elderly, medical debt, household debt, small business debt, they can come in, they can register, they can provide the details, including the interest rate, the bank that holds the loan, how much they've paid so far, and so forth. And then they authorize Donald Trump to be their agent for renegotiating that debt. And he also is authorized to tell them on command when they should stop paying that debt. Donald Trump is then empowered to go to the banks and say, you're going to reduce this debt by 2/3, or I'm going to tell everybody in America to stop paying the debt, and I'm going to give them a presidential pardon by name. It's revolutionary.
Is it similar at all to what Iceland did over the credit swap derivatives when they jailed the bankers and didn't give in to their demands for a bailout?
Well, I think it's similar in the sense that it demonstrated integrity, but it did not have anything to do with individual loans. Okay, the elegance of this, and I really stress that it's someone else's idea. I mean, I'm a magnet for good ideas, which is a wonderful place to be. It's someone else's idea. But the elegance of this idea is that it connects Donald Trump to every American who owes money to anybody. Combine that with the Electoral Reform Act, and what you have is a man who, whatever his warts might be, whatever the latte-sucking liberals might think about him, he's the answer to all of their problems. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The deep state that is the servant of Wall Street, the axis of evil between Wall Street and the deep state and the two-party tyranny, or it's actually Wall Street, two-party tyranny, deep state, that is the common enemy of every American citizen. And Donald Trump has a chance to take that deep state down if he will harness our power.
Won't Congress come against him, though, if he comes out with an edict that says no more debt jubilee, you don't owe any more money?
Well, let me point out that if he does the Electoral Reform Act first, and if he becomes a registered agent of, let's say, 50 million, 100 million, 150 million Americans, he now has the power, congressional district by congressional district, to destroy every single member of Congress individually.
I smell an assassination or impeachment.
No. They can try to impeach him, but I don't think they'll win. See, that's why I'm frustrated, because he hasn't done this strategically, okay? The Elector Reform Act should have been actually a proper chief of staff with a brain should have been the first thing. And he should not have had a National Security Council. McMaster has to go. McMaster was a never-Trumper. McMaster is John McCain's personal spy in the White House. Okay, and he was about to be fired by the chief of staff of the Army. He's grossly overrated. It's time for him to retire. What Trump actually needs is a national strategy coordinator, which is more like a senior clerk who wouldn't dare tell Tillerson or Mattis what to do, but who makes sure that Trump is addressing all 10 of the high-level threats to America. Poverty is the biggest. And going across all policies from agriculture to water. Here's my bottom line. As bad as the individual members of Congress are today, they will understand that an Elector Reform Act is essentially giving them the advantage of incumbency without the disadvantage of being a whore for K Street. Okay? Each member of Congress will then be competing for their job in the future equally with others, but having the advantage of incumbency. And so really what it does is it gives every member of Congress a clean sheet, fresh start. And I would like to believe that a lot of the members of Congress would actually be glad to be liberated from lobbyist funding. They would be glad to be liberated from being blackmailed. So there's a lot, obviously I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and there's a lot more to this, and some of it we can't discuss. But the bottom line here is that if Trump executes all of these ideas, and by the way, the revenue idea, the revenue summit, Edgar Feige is a professor in Wisconsin who's still alive, still alert. He's able to come in and brief the president on this. The automated payment transaction tax eliminates all taxes. It eliminates the entire tax code. It eliminates the Internal Revenue Service. It actually eliminates the right of the federal government to tax individual citizens. We revert to United States of America. And that money is collected by the states. It is allocated by the states to the federal government, which returns to its humble origins as an administrative service of common concern. And by the way, if you want to have a war, you can't go to war unless the public votes to raise the rate to fund the war.
News to my ears. You know, are you saying that basically the states, it's almost like Articles of Confederation, the states would hold the purse strings for the federal government?
Yes, yes. I think we need to go back to that.
There's the only hesitation I have there, Robert, is that that did paralyze the Articles of Confederation government and led to the Whiskey Rebellion, which led to the Constitution formation.
Everything has changed. David, you're absolutely right. This is not something we can just glibly throw out and say this is how it's going to be. I mean, I actually support a constitutional convention, but first we have to educate the public. Right now, with the obesity and idiocy that's epidemic across this country, we would be in a sorry state if we had a constitutional convention. But we need to revisit everything. And I think the biggest thing we need to revisit is the fact that we're the United States of America. We are not the imperial federal government.
That's a good point.
And again, I don't have all the answers. I'm just saying we need to put this on the table. First off, I think the federal government. First off, I think the Federal Reserve has to go. The Federal Reserve
no argument
is
there.
Either, it's not federal. It's not a reserve. It's a crime family. Okay. And in fact, in my as I go to sleep at night, I dream about Ron Paul as the next chairman of the Fed with the responsibility of closing it down, and then he becomes a member of the Supreme Court. And we all live happily ever after. But part of the problem is that the federal government has been borrowing money, which is unconstitutional and also uncalled for. Part of the problem is that the intelligence community has been absolutely worthless. Part of the problem is that the Office of Management and Budget has never managed anything. The M has always been silent. OMB has always been about budget allocation rather than actually holding people accountable. The actual federal waste in the Department of Defense is between 45% in weapons acquisition and 75% in Afghanistan. Let me say there are two negative things I have to say about Donald Trump. The first is that he was too slow. Once he got to Inauguration Day, because Judas Priebus didn't give him the playbook that I was trying to get to him, because had he done an Inauguration Day speech that announced electoral reform, he would have been greater than John F. Kennedy from day one. But Judas Priebus kept that memorandum from Donald Trump. The second negative thing I'm going to say about and then once he was in, he didn't clean house. He should have immediately, once he was inaugurated, he should have professionalized everything, and he didn't. The second negative thing I'm going to say is that Donald Trump's decision to put $54 million into the military while taking it away from the rest of the government is the stupidest thing he's done so far. The military is not only 50% waste across the board, it consumes 60% of the disposable budget of the federal government, 16% of the total budget. This is a military that cannot fight and win wars. It is a military whose officer corps lies for a living. The flag officers lack integrity across the board. There's an excellent monograph written by the Army, U.S. Army Strategic Studies Institute, for whom I just completed three monographs, one of them on grand strategy. The title of that monograph is Lying to Ourselves, Dishonesty in the Military Profession. What we have in the Department of Defense is what Jeffrey St. Clair called Grand Theft Pentagon. The Department of Defense is a massive, sucking bank robbery that is going on every single day. And the reason that Air Force One costs $4 billion is not just because Boeing is a thief, but because the Department of Defense orders things up on what's called, Chuck Spenny has made this famous, called government specifications cost plus. So I absolutely guarantee you there's a requirement somewhere in there that if the engines of Air Force One stop flying, 1,000 parachutes have to come out so that the airplane falls gently to the ground. That's an example of an insane requirement. Okay, so Trump, in providing $54 billion to the Department of Defense, demonstrated in one fell swoop that he has a crappy staff and that he really does not understand the basics of how to run the government.
That's a strong allegation.
No, it's not an allegation. It's an accusation.
Okay. Call it accusation, allegation.
I really want to help him. I want to help him. Now, let me give you the other half of this. I'm the only guy on the planet that has actually designed a 450-ship Navy. I'm the only guy in the United States of America that has actually done a full grand strategy for national security since 1953. And your listeners can find it at tinyurl.com/steel-goarmy. I really know what I'm talking about. Not only can we and must we cut the Department of Defense budget by 30 to 40%, but at the same time, we should close all of our military bases overseas. We should stop providing billions of dollars in subsidies for the military of the Saudi Arabians. I mean, why are we worrying about ISIS when the Saudis allegedly have over 1 million soldiers that we've paid for? I mean, the insanity of all of this is mind-boggling. We can have a 3 million soldier army instead of what we have now, which is a 1 million soldier army with 3 to 6 million contractors who are grossly overpaid and get to decide whether or not they're going into the fight. We can have a 3 million soldier army here at home, a heavied up, armored, tracked army, a long-haul air force that can deliver that army anywhere in the world. As long as our army is stationed in Germany, Japan, and Korea, it belongs to Germany, Japan, and Korea. It does not belong to us. And third and last, a 450-ship Navy instead of a 280-ship Navy. We have more admirals than we have ships in the United States Navy. Okay? It's all insane. And part of my job is to say it's insane. Mr. President, you've made a mistake. You are being given incorrect information. You can do better. Here are the facts.
Now, I'm going to choke on this information. I'm not in disagreement with 99% of what you're saying here. The problem is,
I am totally loyal to Donald Trump.
He is surrounded by idiots, and
yes,
and
well,
saying
no,
it.
No, it's not surrounded by idiots as much as people who don't read a lot. Look, my mantra is the truth at any cost lowers all other costs. That's what your listeners will find in the banner at 5betaiota.net. The truth at any cost lowers all other costs. What Donald Trump doesn't have right now is holistic analytics, true cost economics, and strategic thinking across the board. Plus, he needs a chief of staff that can run the trains on time.
He has politically low IQ people around him.
Yes.
So I use the euphemism of
not just
idiots.
Politically, financially, substantially. And let me tell you the way that I work. I don't try and tell the president what the facts are. I go out and I find the top five people of divergent points of view, and I bring them in front of the president and say, these five people each represent a different slice of reality. Have them speak for 5 or 10 minutes each. The president asks questions. At the end of it, I guarantee you, and I want to tell you a true story, I guarantee you he will know more than CIA could produce in a million years of bullshit. Okay? Now, here's a true story. I'm the Pope for open source intelligence. I started the modern discipline of open source intelligence. And CIA has marginalized me for 30 years because they're absolutely terrified of the fact that someone like me can basically do 95% of what's needed for $3 billion a year, while they fail to do more than 4% of what's needed for $10 billion a year. And, of course, NSA and all the others add up to about $75 billion these days. I was providing open-source intelligence to the U.S. Southern Command, and they came to me one day and they said, we need a forecast on the Nicaraguan economy. And they said, we really don't like what CIA has because they don't have any assets in Nicaragua. They really don't understand economics. They're largely worthless to us. And when we went to Booz Allen, Booz Allen said, yes, they could do it, but it would take a year and cost $250,000, which is actually a very reasonable price. That's essentially one man year for Booz Allen. I said, okay, what do you think about $250 and I'll have an answer by Monday? I think this was a Thursday or Friday. They said, you can't do that. And I said, oh, yes, I can. And they said, all right, let's see what you got. Well, what they didn't know was that I know who knows. And that's the whole secret of OSINT. The recently retired governor of the Bank of Nicaragua was now a green code holder in Minnesota or someplace like that. And I had his email because I had just spoken at a MALA conference, something American Latin Studies, whatever. So I had actually gotten his email. So I sent him an email. I said, hey, welcome to America. We want to invite you to give us a 4-page unclassified paper on where the Nicaraguan economy is today and where you think it's going. And I can FedEx you a check for $250. I mean, back then, this would be $2,500 today. And he said, ah, that's great. He says, I can do that. I'll do it this weekend. And he did. And for $250, I gave Southcom the best report they've ever gotten on anything. And I can do that over and over and over and over again on every single topic across the world in every language without stopping, ever. That is the stake in the heart of CIA. They just don't want to deal with that.
How do you make them deal with it?
Well, what I would like to do, and I told Jim Clapper this in 2007 before he lost his integrity. Jim is a good man at heart, but he really became a technocrat and money pimp. The way you do it, David, is by creating the open source agency. And I have for 30 years been a champion of an open source agency. And General Jim Cox, who got me my start with the NATO country, says the same thing. We need an open source agency that produces decision support using only open sources and methods that are ethical, legal, and overt. That will provide 90% of what we need to know across the board on everything. It also sets the gold standard for what can be known with open sources that are inexpensive. What I discovered when I created the Marine Corps Intelligence Center was that 90% of what we needed to know was not secret, not in English, not online, and not known to anyone in Washington. And this includes basic information about Burundi, Haiti, and Somalia. Okay? So that's what I actually want to do for Donald Trump. I don't want to be his chief of staff. I don't want to be a strategic advisor. I want to create the open source agency. And then, and I've written about this elsewhere, I've got 8 books on reforming intelligence, 2 of them with forewords by senators who have been past chairman of the Senate Select Committee for Intelligence, Dave Boren and Pat Roberts, one Democrat, one Republican. Once you have an open source agency, then what you do is you shut down the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is a sinecure for retards that are in their second job. That's retirees that have nothing else to do, so they go back and push paper at a higher level. You close down the ODNI, you close down NSA, you close down the National Reconnaissance Office, you close down the National Geospatial Agency. You expand CIA. First, you cut CIA in half. For example, the drone division at CIA has 2,000 people whose job it is to assassinate innocents without due process. Okay? That's how we create terrorists. We are assassinating people around the world, and 98% of them are innocent men, women, and children. Okay? It's insane. So we need to cut CIA in half, but then we need to build CIA back up into the Central Intelligence Agency. Only this time it has a Directorate for Signals Intelligence, a Directorate for Imagery Intelligence, and we do what the Dutch did in the 1990s. We change the game so that the classified capabilities are not used unless 2 things are validated. The first is the open source agency says we cannot get this information. The second thing is the president or the cabinet secretary says, I need this information at any cost. Only then will classified sources and methods be brought to bear.
And let's just step aside from this for a second and define our terms for the listening audience that may not be sure. Open source versus classified.
Well, there's 2 ways of explaining it. The first is that an open source is anything that is legally and ethically available without subterfuge. So that includes things like gray literature, for example, phone books, corporate phone books. It includes personal observations of people looking at something. One of the problems we have is that the spies don't get out of the capital city and the mass media doesn't either. A friend of mine wrote a book once about hotel warriors. We've actually caught CNN faking footage. People are dressed up as if they're in a combat zone and they're actually at the CNN headquarters with a palm tree and a helmet. Okay? I mean, it's just insane.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is. It is. My second monograph for the Army was called Global Reality. So, open sources are, for example, let's take Somalia, all right? CIA is not really studying Somalia. They really don't understand the tribes and the cultures and the languages and all of that stuff. They've written Somalia off. They don't consider it important enough. So open sources are anything that's legally and ethically available. Now, here's where CNI parted ways. CIA is terrified of actually talking to human beings. And the clandestine service said that nobody would be allowed to talk to a human being in the open source arena. They limited everybody to either document exploitation or social media monitoring, which is a waste of time. And they wouldn't allow us to do expert consultation. Now, I paid $30,000 in 2007 to identify the top experts for each of the 10 threats to humanity, poverty, infectious disease, and so on, each of the core policies from agriculture through water, and each of the major countries from Brazil and China and down through Russia and Iran and Venezuela. What that means is I have the power to create a National Intelligence Council on every topic, every country, every threat, every policy. Okay? And those people know who knows, which means that we can create real-time decision support, which is what intelligence really means. Intelligence is not about spies and secrecy or inputs. Intelligence properly done, and I'm probably the 21st century master of this topic. My latest book is called Intelligence for Earth, Clarity, Diversity, Integrity, and Sustainability. And it's free online as well as for sale on Amazon. Just about everything I do is free online. I'm not alive to sell books. I'm alive to fix the system. And so intelligence is about decision support, which is the outputs. A big part of the problem in the U.S. government, apart from the total lack of integrity in Congress, is the fact that we don't do evidence-based governance.
Define what that means.
Oh, well, let's take energy, for example. If we were doing evidence-based governance, not only would we not be doing any fracking, because fracking causes earthquakes, uses up clean water we can't afford, and contaminates what's left, but we would also not be doing the Keystone Pipeline. There is no energy shortage in America. The Keystone Pipeline is a scam. It's a scam that is intended to keep two or three legacy refineries in Texas owned by two or three really rich guys who have bribed Congress so that they can then take tar sands oil at great expense, using up water from the ground that Canada can't afford to use, piping this across the country, leaving a mess behind, so they can export this crude fuel to the United Kingdom. Evidence-based governance would kill that dead. Evidence-based government would put most of the people in the Center for Disease Control in jail, because the vaccines that they are trying to sell us are killing people and causing autism and doing all kinds of bad things. Evidence-based governments would put most of the people in the Food and Drug Administration in jail. Now, I have to say, I'm a big truth and reconciliation guy, so I don't really mean to put them in jail. I mean to expose them and educate the public. Most of the U.S. government is toxic in relation to the health of the American public. We would be doing much more about electromagnetic pollution. We would stop HARP, for example, and geoengineering. We would be much more alarmed about Fukushima and what it's done to the Northwest Pacific Ocean. It's just evidence-based government means a combination of holistic analytics and true cost economics. I mean, it takes 5,000 gallons of water to put a pound of beef on the table. It takes 20 gallons of water to put a tomato on the table. Okay, we just don't understand that we are living in a wasteland. The Western way, and the Russian foreign minister has recently commented about how the Western way is now dead, but the Western way essentially assumes that the earth is free. And we have a Western way of life that is based on chlorine and plastic. And it is killing us. Fluoride in the water. You know, there's just so many things that are bad for us. Our schools suck. Our churches are unethical. Our labor leaders are traitors to the labor unions. People are not being held accountable for being ethical and truthful. And that is what defines a society. So we have essentially a 1% that has manipulated our society so that the 99% tend to be obese and ignorant and inattentive. And that's what I'd like to change with an open source agency which supports the Trump Channel, which basically gives everyone hope again, and it also gives everyone full employment with full benefits.
I thought the Trump Channel, correct me if I'm wrong, was going to be a reality anyway. Is that true or not true?
Well, I am not privy to what Brad Parscale is doing, but I can absolutely guarantee you that they're not thinking as big as I am. A properly done Trump Channel would first off eliminate Twitter. I have this concept I call a trumpet, which is we replace Twitter with something that goes out to every American through email or through a service that they can opt in on, and it's not controlled by people like Twitter who can censor and manipulate what's trending and so forth. This trumpet would include Donald Trump asking America what it thinks on any given topic, and then using Pollmole, P-O-L-L-M-O-L-E, Pollmole, we would have 150 million answers coming back in, which would go to a presidential dashboard that would then allow him to visualize in three colors, red, yellow, green, and then to drill down to districts and then to even see voted up specific suggestions or comments from individual citizens. This is a two-way Trump channel, and I don't think they're visualizing a two-way Trump channel. Most pollsters, including Kellyanne, are retarded. They just don't get it. They don't do face-to-face. They haven't outgrown the home telephone era. They really don't understand that you can also educate at the same time that you're taking in information. So the Trump channel would also bypass the fake news media entirely. Now, it would use alternative media like you and the Hagmans and others to serve as surrogates. But the Trump channel would educate the public. For example, you would have 7-minute fireside chats by the president. He's already started doing a version of this, but I think he really needs some help seeing the larger strategic picture. It would have every cabinet secretary and every assistant secretary, basically every political appointee and some professionals, do 7 to 15 minute YouTubes, but we would have a new channel that's not YouTube and not controlled by Google Gestapo. You would have videos, basically, that would talk about every single government program, every single issue. It's almost like turning America into a reality show, but rooted in the truth, and connecting the president and the public at a micro level with macro analysis. I mean, Micah Sifry's written a wonderful book called The Big Disconnect, Why the Internet Hasn't Fixed Politics Yet. Well, I know everybody who can fix the internet and can fix politics. And that's what the Open Source Agency would do. It would become the merger of education, intelligence, and research. And it would basically wipe out all of the toxic research and all of the classified intelligence that is just there for spending and collection that is not processed. And it would completely revitalize education in this country.
I think it's a novel approach. I like it. It's a real form of direct democracy that's really missing, where of the people by the people is totally gone. And
that's
this would
exactly
restore
right.
Good passion. I mean, this would put passion back into the people for government because they feel that their voice would actually matter.
You've nailed it. This is direct democracy. Friends of mine, John Lebakowski and Mitch Ratcliffe, wrote an excellent book called Extreme Democracy. I know how to give Donald Trump extreme democracy, and I know how to put down the deep state.
Let's talk about, independently of invoking all these reforms that you have in mind, I think a lot of them are very, very applaudable. What is he facing, let's say, between now and the end of May? Let's be specific and let's lay it out as chronologically as you understand it. If he continues down the path he's doing, and he's floundering right now.
Yes.
What is going to happen?
Well, let me say first that I really admire Greg Hunter and the interview that he did with Catherine Austin Fitz. And she laid out what's happening, and she talked about how Trump is being played like a fiddle by the deep state. They're going after his women. They're going after his closest supporters. And I agree with her completely. Jeff Sessions is just the latest. All of these lies about Russia and all this brouhaha about political blah, blah, blah are absolute crap. Donald Trump has lost his grip on the narrative because he hasn't done the fundamentals. So the first thing that's going to happen is Donald Trump is going to be consumed every single day until he seizes the high ground. He is going to be consumed with lies to the public that essentially make him ineffective. All right. Second thing that's happening is this four-part strategy that I've laid out. The Google Gestapo with Twitter and Facebook under the leadership of Eric Schmidt is going to increasingly ramp up. Anti-Trump things will be visible to the public, and pro-Trump things will become less visible to the public. At the same time, as the weather gets warm enough so that a mix of paid and ignorant protesters can be put in the streets, we are going to see Berkeley times 1,000. All right, and there's a map out there that I think the Hagmans showed, which showed all of the activities that are planned between now and 1 May. And let me say that I think 1 May, May Day, is the culminating point. I believe that after 1,000 Berkeleys across the country, you will see 3 million people bus to Washington to trash the city and attempt to drive Donald Trump from office. And, of course, you have the mainstream media, which no one is holding accountable for telling the truth. I would have all of them under investigation and be threatening to take away their broadcasting licenses. Okay? I mean, I watched James Baker lie on CNN and say we have a functioning democracy. He knows that's not true. He's lying. And the sock puppet on CNN that was interviewing him didn't have the balls or the brains to challenge him. I mean, I look at the lies that are told on CNN every single day, and I look at this so-called infotainment. It's disgusting. It's demeaning. And I think Donald Trump is also going to miss the critical period of time between now and 1 May when he could be creating a safety net for America that will stop Wall Street from crashing the economy and that will allow every community to survive an economic attack by the 1% against the 99%.
How long does he have?
My best guess is he has until the 1st of April to actually acknowledge that he's in deep trouble and to understand that there are some very meaningful solutions that he can begin applying right now. If he were, I mean, he blew it on Inauguration Day because of Judas Priebus. He blew it on his speech to Congress, which was all platitudes. He has a chance now. Let's pick a date in March, say 15 March. I mean, he could give a major national speech on 15 March in which he announces David Stockman in, Priebus out, McMaster out, strategy thing, Electoral Reform Act, Cynthia McKinney, Dennis Kucinich, Jesse Ventura, all these others are going to come to an electoral reform summit. And then each party, the Constitution Party, each small party is going to be responsible for selling the and explaining the Electoral Reform Act to their party. Greens are invited. Working Families, Justice with Rocky Anderson. The Independent Voter Daily, or whatever it's called, Sean Griffith, runs a superb outfit that informs the 50% of Americans that are independents. So by 15 March, Donald Trump needs to take command in a coherent way. And evidently, he doesn't know how to do that because he has a shit staff.
So where does he start? Priebus first?
No. He starts by sitting down with me for 1 hour and understanding the 8 recommendations that I'm making in this memorandum. That's where he starts.
Well, you know, the layers that separate...
But
Robert,
sorry,
listen to me. The layers that separate you from the president are going to be the people that you're going to be recommending that they go, a lot of them.
No,
and they're
going to
throw every roadblock in your way that they can, don't you think?
Bannon said yesterday he will try and make this meeting happen.
Okay.
Bannon is a keeper, but Bannon should not be the person who represents 100% of the voters because he doesn't. He represents, at best, 15 to 17% of the voters. Okay? Part of the problem, I think, is that early on, Bannon was under the delusion that Donald Trump had won in some kind of landslide and that controlling both parties of both houses of Congress made Donald Trump invincible. What he has since begun to understand is that the 26% that voted against Trump are going to be violent in the streets given the resources, the financial resources, and the ideological and mainstream media pushing. And he has also since come to understand that Donald Trump's greatest enemy is not the Democratic Party, which is in disarray, but rather the Republican Party, which is seriously pissed off that Donald Trump got into the White House. And so, I really do mean this very candidly. I think Steve Bannon has the power to get me in to see Donald Trump, and preferably not in the White House, which is bugged 6 different ways. Everything said in the Oval Office is at Tel Aviv and at Fort Meade in real time. So, they really need to understand that they've walked into, and Donald Trump has said it himself, he's inherited a mess. What he has not inherited is an understanding of how to very, very rapidly fix the mess by going out of the box. The Electoral Reform Act, plus the debt reconciliation, plus the automated payment transaction tax, plus a grand strategy summit televised publicly, These are all transformative game changers. No one else has put all of these into one page with 9 points.
What is your starting point with the president? If you were to tell him, Mr. President, this is the first thing you need to do, and you need to do it today, what would that be?
Sit down and understand how there are 8 things that need to be set in motion and announced to the public so that you are finally accepted by the public as the commander-in-chief for 100% of our voters.
Well, that's... You get a tall order, so you don't... If the 15th is the drop-dead date...
Well, no, the 15th is an opportunity date. Here's what's going to happen.
What's a drop-dead date? If he doesn't get started the 15th, it's not going to magically happen by the 1st of April.
Well, even worse than that, if he finally figures this out in April and then starts to scramble to do some of the things I've suggested, he's going to look weak. He's going to look panicky and incoherent and disorganized. I wanted him... At the end of the one-page memo, which your listeners can find at Memo for Trump or tinyurl.com/memo for Trump, with 4 being a number. At the end of that is my 10-page memo, which I gave to Priebus. At the time, I thought Priebus was being loyal to Trump and intended for Trump to succeed. Now I realize that Priebus's highest mission in life is to keep Donald Trump from unrigging the system. Priebus is a whore for the Republican Party. In no way, shape, or form is he loyal to Donald Trump, okay? Nor is he any good as a chief of staff. So I tried to set Trump up for success. I actually wrote to Hagman, who was in charge of the transition, and I said, look, here's how you fill 4,000 positions in 30 days. And, oh, by the way, you don't just fill the positions, you create a presidential academy, which in the aftermath of a grand strategy that should have happened in December... Everybody gets told this is what our grand strategy is. These are the 7 things that for each agency, here are the 7 things that agency is responsible for doing. Here's how they all fit together. And if you violate this and if you step out of line, we will kill you. Okay, metaphorically speaking. I mean, what Trump right now has is a chaotic mess that is being managed by people who hate him.
That's interesting. You know, Doug Hagman and I had go around with Curley, I forget his name now. He was a top person in the Republican Party. His wife even attacked me. And these people that were running the Republican Party were coming out and saying during the primary, you people can basically vote for whoever you want, but we're going to make the decision. And they got stepped on hard. So this looks like this is their fallback position. If they couldn't get him out in the front end, they're going to sabotage him on the back end. Same kind of people.
That's exactly right. And I was very concerned that the Electoral College might have been flipped by the lies being told about the Russians hacking the election. I'm one of the people who did the most to call John Brennan out as a liar. I mean, I wrote several... If people go to Phi Beta Iota and look up Russians, they'll see all the things I wrote. There's one piece that has 29 people, including Barack Obama, before he was told by the deep state to change his message. That said the Russians didn't hack the election. They didn't. My most popular piece on Amazon and also free online is my soft coup piece, because that takes the CIA report and dismantles it line by line. And oh, by the way, on page A13 of the CIA report, it says in black and white, our findings are not based on evidence. It says that. And I credit... Robert Perry at Consortium News for noticing that. There is no evidence, okay? What you have is a deep state that is frantically trying to destroy Donald Trump, and Steve Bannon is probably the last hope that we have for getting Trump to understand what's in my one-page memorandum, which represents 40 years of experience.
It's amazing. What do you place your odds at? And actually getting past the gatekeepers and getting
my
into the president.
My odds of getting to Donald Trump and saving Donald Trump are precisely the same as the odds of his winning the presidency.
It's well put. It's very prophetic, but it's well put. I caught the nuance there. That's very well put. Well, we've just about come to the end, and Robert, we have to have you back.
Oh, I'd be honored to be back. You're one of the mainstays for thinking people.
Well, I appreciate that, but this is something I don't get to have a lot of intellectual debates on air. A lot of people that come on, they have factual information they share, and they're very, very good at what they do. But this was very enlightening for me, and I'm sure the listening audience benefited from it. I wanted to take a moment and give you an opportunity to tell people how they can follow your good work.
Well, thank you. I mean, if you look up Robert David Steele, you get immediately to my professional website, which has all of my writings. I was recently recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize, which is a very long shot. I don't want the Nobel Peace Prize. I want to help Donald Trump earn the Nobel Peace Prize together with Vladimir Putin. In 4 years, they will have earned it if they create an open source agency that that basically satisfies the 17 sustainability development goals with open source everything engineering, which is what I care about. But robertdavidsteele.com and phibetaiota.net. And I don't have an income, so I welcome donations. And I'm always, always looking for chances to speak across America. I think the public is starting to realize that the two-party tyranny has got to go and that we, the people, can do better with direct democracy. And that is something Donald Trump can make happen if he hears this voice.
I think you're absolutely right. It's very, very well put. Well, I'll be in touch. We're going to set up a future date here because we get much into April, the game's going to be over. And I agree with you. The Arab Spring is coming. I totally agree with you. Let me ask you this. I've been saying this a lot. What we're seeing with George Soros and these protests and breaking a few windows and burning a few cars, it's a beta test to see how well they can control the local authorities so when they bring holy hell, they're going to be unchecked. Do you agree with that?
It's worse than that. The governors and the mayors have already agreed to hold law enforcement back. Loretta Lynch is out there on YouTube saying we need violence in the streets. That's sedition. I would call her out. Look, Trump, God almighty, Trump needs a ruthless snake eater at his side. He doesn't have one. He's got a bunch of fat, pasty-faced people who have never been in a real fight.
Incredible. It really is. Well, look, we're out of time, and Robert, this was extremely enlightening, and I mean extremely emphasized. And I'll get your profession correct before you come back on, I promise.
God bless America. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Robert David Steele, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. You know, this put a little adrenaline into my system here. It was like drinking some non-decaffeinated coffee here. I'm wired because I was intellectually stimulated by a lot of the things he said. Debt repudiation is second on my list. One is getting Donald Trump off dead center. And he is my president, and I've seen him do some really good things with corporations and keeping jobs here, and he's been consistent with what he said he was going to do. But Donald, if you got a disloyal army, you got to get rid of them. Anyway, we are out of time. We'll be back next week. Great show coming up. Don't miss it. Go out and have a great week. God bless.